Welcome to episode 1015 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day, based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. Today brings us to the end of a two-week study of the three epistles attributed to the Apostle John in the New Testament. Have you ever found yourself standing on the edge of a cliff, staring down into the depths below, overwhelmed by the weight of your mistakes? The fear of judgment can feel paralyzing, especially when we recognize the darkness within us. Yet, amid our doubts and insecurities, there is a beautiful truth waiting to be embraced. God stands ready to forgive and cleanse us, inviting us into the light of His love. In 1 John 1:9, we are reminded that confession leads to restoration, a powerful act that transforms our relationship with God and reshapes our identity as His beloved children. The book of 1 John is one of my favorites in the Bible. Today, I want to share 10 verses from this book that speak to me and that I think will be a blessing for you. First John 1 verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This verse is a powerful reminder of God's willingness to forgive and cleanse us. The condition for this forgiveness is confession, acknowledging our sin and turning to God in humility. God's forgiveness is based not on our merit, but on His faithfulness and justice. The justice here refers to Jesus' atoning sacrifice, which satisfies God's righteousness. Confession brings restoration, and God promises to purify us from all unrighteousness, removing not just the guilt, but also the pollution of sin. 1 John 1, verse 5. This is the message we have heard from Him and declare to you, God is light. In Him there is no darkness at all. In the very first chapter of this epistle, John begins by declaring the essence of God's character. God is light, which symbolizes purity, truth, and holiness. There is no darkness, no sin, evil, or falsehood in Him. This truth sets the foundation for everything that follows in the letter, showing that walking in fellowship with God means walking in the light, reflecting His holiness. This metaphorical contrast between light and darkness underscores the incompatibility of sin with a life that seeks communion with God. 1 John 3 verse 1. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. This verse exclaims the astonishing love of God in making believers His children. It's not something we earn, but something God lavishes upon us through His grace. I love that word, lavish. It means to give or spend freely and generously without restraint. It conveys a sense of abundance and excess. Can someone say 10-10 gifting? Often implying that the giving is done with joy and enthusiasm rather than reluctance. When we say that someone lavishes something upon another, we suggest that they are showering that person with gifts, attention, or affection in a way that feels overflowing and extravagant. In a spiritual or emotional context, to lavish love or grace means to offer it abundantly, emphasizing not only the quantity, but also the warmth and sincerity behind the gesture. And then, being called children of God denotes an intimate and familial relationship with God, one that defines our identity. However, this new identity also alienates believers from the world, which doesn't understand or accept those who follow God because it doesn't know God Himself. 1 John 4, verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. Here in this passage, John is discussing the perfect, mature love that comes from knowing God. Fear, especially fear of judgment or punishment, is incompatible with this perfect love. When we fully grasp the love of God and the security of our salvation in Christ, fear of judgment is dispelled. Mature believers live in confidence, not fear, because they trust fully in God's love, which has already saved them. This verse challenges believers to grow in their understanding and experience of God's perfect love. 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 to 2. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. John acknowledges the reality of sin in the believer's life, but reminds us that we have an advocate, a lawyer, a defender, Jesus Christ, who intercedes on our behalf. Jesus is described as the righteous, underscoring his sinlessness and perfect ability to stand before God on our behalf. His role as propitiation means that he satisfies the wrath of God against sin. This advocacy and sacrifice are available not just to believers, but for all humanity, showing the universality of Christ's atonement. 1 John 2 verses 15 to 16. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. John warns against attachment to the world and its values. The world here refers to a system of life and values that are opposed to God, marked by selfish desires, materialism, and pride. Love for the world is incompatible with love for God, because the world's desires are temporary and contrary to God's will. John challenges believers to focus on eternal things and live in a way that reflects God's priorities, not the fleeting desires of this life. 1 John 3:16. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. John defines true love through the ultimate example of Jesus' sacrifice. Jesus' willingness to lay down his life for humanity is the standard for Christian love. This sacrificial love is not merely sentimental, but demands action, and John calls believers to embody this kind of self-giving love, especially toward fellow believers. The verse challenges Christians to love not just in words, but in deeds, even to the point of sacrifice. 1 John 1 verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his Son cleanses us from all sin. Walking in the light means living in obedience to God, in contrast to walking in darkness, which represents living in sin. Living in the light brings about true fellowship among believers because it is rooted in God's truth and holiness. The cleansing blood of Jesus is continually at work in the life of those who walk in the light, purifying them from sin. This verse underscores both the ongoing nature of fellowship and the continual cleansing provided by Christ's sacrifice. 1 John 4 verse 19, we love because he first loved us. This simple yet profound statement explains the origin of Christian love. Our ability to love others flows directly from the love that God has shown to us. God's love is the starting point, the motivation, and the source of all Christian love. This verse teaches that love is not something we generate on our own, but something we respond to, reflecting the love we have received from God through Christ. 1 John 3 verse 18, little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. John challenges believers to go beyond mere words when it comes to love. True Christian love must be tangible and active, expressed through deeds that align with God's truth. It is easy to say we love others, but John calls for love that manifests in real actions, actions that reflect sincerity and truth. This call is for authentic, selfless love that reflects God's love for us. These verses highlight the core themes of 1 John: God's love, the call to live in holiness, the assurance of salvation through Christ, and the importance of walking in light and truth as a community of believers. As we reflect on the themes of confession, forgiveness, and love found in 1 John, let us remember that these are not merely doctrines to be understood, but life-giving truths to be embraced. God lavishes his love upon us, welcoming us into a relationship where we can experience his grace and mercy without reservation. This profound understanding of being loved extravagantly empowers us to extend that same love to others, fostering a community marked by compassion and authenticity as we live out our identity as his beloved children. If you feel moved by the way in which God has lavished his love on you, here's my challenge to you. Lavish that love, that grace, that mercy on someone today. Father, thank you for the incredible gift of forgiveness and the light that shines in our lives through your love. Help us to confess our sins with humility and to accept your cleansing grace, allowing us to reflect your love to those around us. May we be vessels of your mercy and kindness, living out our identity as your beloved children. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the fullest today.